back on The Rule of Three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about midlife crises. And we're also going to be talking about, well, I guess we're going to be talking about the first two topics are the same. And that's celebrity harassment. Later we're going to be talking about Louis C.K. The first one, though, is political harassment, which I guess is a bigger issue than a lot of people want to talk about. I think that was the Senate that actually passed a resolution to have education on sexual harassment, because apparently it's rampant in the Senate. Which, you know, in my attitude, well, if it's rampant in the Senate, you don't pass an awareness campaign. You tell us who's doing it.
Yeah, fair enough. I think it was just because Roy Moore was coming in. They're like, look, we all need to be prepared on how to deal with this guy.
Perhaps. But that is the big news story, like it or not. The Washington Post found out that back in 1979, Judge Roy Moore did something that a lot of people were doing back in 1979.
Oh, I don't think so. He was 32 years old, and he had sexual relations with a 14-year-old while he was involved in some way legally in her custody case.
I did not read into it that much. I did not know he was involved in her cut.
Yeah, he was 32 and she was 14. That's a crime. That is a crime. 14? Well. I have a 14-year-old niece. That is despicable. Uh-huh. I worked at a college gig and I was...
Yeah, but you see, here's the thing. You're looking at it from modern terms. Yes, today we consider that a crime. No, you're forgetting that in 1979, Playboy published nude photos of 14-year-old Brooke Shields. That yes, it's despicable. Yes, I do not support it. But it was a different era. It was totally a different era. Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, both married girls in their early teens.
Okay, so a different era. This was the way back in 2015. Roy Moore was the lone dissenting vote in a case where a 17-year-old was convicted of raping a 12-year-old at a daycare center, but said there was because there was no evidence of physical injury that it shouldn't have been a conviction. So it doesn't. I mean, doesn't seem like it's changed that much since 1979.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know that case.
It was also said, by the way,
myself. I've kind of been avoiding it. I'm not a big fan of Judge Roy Moore.
Do you think that feels very convenient for you to avoid that to some degree?
Convenient for me to avoid it? Why?
Well, it seems like if John Podesta had been accused of that, do you think you'd be avoiding the news stories about it?
Probably. I haven't looked much into the Podesta group and their affiliation with Russian collusion. I know they've been accused. I don't really, you know, John Podesta is kind of old news. This is an Alabama Senate race, something for which I do not have a vote. It's the state of Alabama.
Yeah, but if that's
what the state of Alabama thinks is a good senator, who am I to disparage it?
I mean, you're right that obviously neither of us can vote in it, but I mean, we are going to be pretty significantly affected by who is the senator in Alabama. And this isn't like a state senator. This is a United States senator.
No, it is. It's not a United States senator. It is a state senator. I mean, that's the idea of the Senate, is that each state puts out two people that represent the state.
Right. So I feel like not having a what would by modern standards, if you want to say that, pedophile on the court is probably a good thing. They've had multiple people who worked with him over the years who said it was well known that he dated teenagers, and that well into his elder age, he used to like to hang out at high school football games to meet girls.
Uh-huh. Before he was married or after he was married? even after he was married, he was still hitting on the cheerleaders?
I don't care if he's married. It's dude, come on. A 30-year-old hitting on high schoolers is creepy. There's no two ways around it.
No. I agree. But also, it was not frowned upon in Southern culture in that era. That's basically, he's a senator from Alabama.
So you're saying that most people in the South, you think, dated high schoolers?
I said it was not frowned upon. And I think a lot
that's
did.
That's a pretty.
Yes. Yes, I think a lot did.
How come this doesn't come out against more politicians then?
What?
That they all dated these high schoolers when they were in their 30s.
Because they're not Republicans in a slim majority.
I would think most of the politicians in Alabama are Republicans. Isn't the legislature controlled by Republicans in Alabama? I can't imagine it's not.
Yeah, but the only reason why it came out was because there's a slim majority in the Senate. And the Washington Post decided that they were going to trash the
guy. You don't think other people's opponents, if they had evidence that their opponents dated high school and junior high?
First of all, they don't really have evidence. They have the testimony of one person, which Judge Roy Moore denies it. So they don't really have evidence. It really is boiled down to a he said she said.
I didn't think he's denying it now, but some other things he said have been not quite so deny-y. If you want to go based on his fundraising campaign email, I saw a thing where he said most of my where's the quote? I'll try to find it. He said most of my relationships have been of age.
Yeah.
So that would be then an admission that some of them weren't.
Of age is, and at the time, 16 was of
14's
age
not.
In Alabama. Right. right. That was the one that apparently it boils down to a he said, she said. And like I said, I'm just Alabama voters. Do they believe him or do they believe her? It's their choice. I haven't looked into it. I don't.
You don't think it's weird that people get fire? People seem to need a lot more. I'm at a loss. I don't know how any man can have been 30 years old and think it's not weird to think about dating a 14-year-old. When I was a 30-year-old man, that was a despicable thought. They're children. It's gross. Sure.
No, I agree.
So I don't want to. I think it'd be a real shame if a deeply despicable person.
I totally agree. But what I'm saying is that it was common in those days.
I don't think it was as common as you think it was. I mean, I believe you are right that there were different attitudes.
Well, okay. First of all, I was there. Okay, I kind of remember the 70s, and there was this huge thing where teenagers were being sexualized, and since then we've said, you know, that really wasn't right. We were stupid. I mean, there was a group called the Runaways, and it was the enticement for that group was none of them were of age. And they all
there's the Brooke Shields like movie Pretty Baby, which you would probably get arrested for having a copy of today.
Exactly. Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver.
Well, Jodie Foster wasn't naked in Taxi Driver. Brooke Shields was naked in Pretty Baby. I can't believe that's one of those things that history has like tried to forget.
I believe that Jodie Foster, they said it wasn't Jodie Foster. They said it was her sister who was actually of age. That they put her in as a body double, but I believe they've probably taken that scene out in the copies you've seen. But it was a big thing that Jodie Foster was also nude and pretty in Taxi Driver.
Well, so I think if we want to keep the standards of 1979 in the U.S. Senate, we can just vote Roy Moore in there, and we can bring it all back. We can make America great again. Make America date 14-year-olds again.
That's when it happened.
But but it didn't happen. I thought he's denying that it happened. He seems to have no problem with.
That's when it allegedly happened. Do we have to do this?
I don't know. I don't feel like I'm the one playing with semantics. But one thing that's not semantic is that the segment is literally over. We have the proof.
Mercifully.
And on the last, final segment, Rule of Three, we're going to be talking about Tim's temporary new car. I'm very curious to hear about this.
First, my weekend midlife crisis.
Yes, well, it's nice that you got it out on a weekend. You know, you just bang it out, get it all done with. That's kind of, you know, that's very expedient of you.
And speaking of banging it out,
by yourself, I assume in the car. The big. Comedy news, the inescapable comedy news over the weekend, I would say.
Did we want to escape it? Yeah. Oh, we wish we could have escaped
was,
it.
The New York Times published a formalized series of accusations. To some degree, they were kind of collating some things that had already been out there, and then they added some names and a couple of stories about Louis C.K., harassing
it also the griddle was a lot hotter this time too.
Yes, it was, for sure.
It was yeah, the difference between splashing water on a pan that's just sitting there on warm and one filled with hot grease.
Yep, agreed. And of course, subsequently, Louis C.K. has said that everything in the story was true. He's admitted all of it. He
a very classy apology, I thought, by the way. It was a testament to the guy's writing ability.
I felt it was a testament to his writing ability in a less flattering way. I thought parts of it were good, but I thought parts of it were subtle equivocations exactly, but I thought that some of the things sort of deftly dodged. He got to pretend that he didn't force people to watch him. The implication was that, well, you know, I always ask, but I should have known that was wrong, and gosh golly gee, and that doesn't match up with all the stories that are out there, some of which he said happened. I will say, the funny thing is my mom agrees with you. My mom liked the apology. My mom texts me out of the blue and says, wow, surprising, because she really likes Louis C.K. She's seen him on Saturday Night Live twice, basically. That's what my mom likes about him.
Sure.
Wow, surprised and disappointed to hear the news about Louis C.K., but I admire his response. So then, I'm going to have to censor part of this because I leak out another comedy secret in this email. But I said, I wondered how long this would take to come out. It's the biggest open secret in comedy since bleep. But I said, but it wasn't really publicly known. And then,
oh my gosh! Now everyone's going, what?
Well, too bad for them. And my mom, in a, this is pretty funny. Now, to her credit, right? I said this was pretty publicly known. She even texted me back, "Well, I didn't know that. You should really keep me updated on these things." Which is pretty funny because it's like, yeah, Mom, when you were bringing up how much you loved Louis' monologue on SNL 6 months ago or whatever, like I wasn't.
Yeah, I love. I knew about his other solo performance.
Yes, I was aware of that, but I was like, boy, talk about something I didn't want to. Like, I don't even really want to watch a Louis C.K. special with my mom, much less talk about the details of his extracurriculars.
I don't know the details. I didn't look into that one either.
It's a friend of mine, a guy you know, actually, was at a party in L.A. 12 years ago, and said he saw it happen. That he said it was just Louis was just in a room by himself. That was the door was open. That it, like it was kind of like, you know, like if you have a party room and there's themes like, oh, this is the blacklight room and this is the room where there's all the candy and this is the room where the DJ music's going or whatever. It was like there was a room, but the room was just him sitting there in a chair having what my friend John Justice refers to
having
a party of one, as John Justice is very classy way of talking about it on the radio. But it was like, you know, door open, like, oh, you could wander into this and watch this, or you could carry on elsewhere. So it wasn't,
oh man, so it's sort of like David S. Pumpkin.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, my friend just said, like, well, that was weird. And he went along, you know, but there wasn't anyone in the, you know, whatever. But, so yeah, I'd heard this before, it's not.
They were all from like 2000, right? They were all the allegations were from.
Yeah, I think so.
There's nothing current.
Well, these depends on what you mean. No, it wasn't anything from the last. No, it wasn't like just yesterday blank happened or whatever. No.
It was all from the last decade.
Yeah.
It was all from what I understand, it was 2002. It was the Chicago Comedy Festival in 2002.
Oh, that was the Aspen Comedy Festival in 2002.
Aspen Comedy Festival.
But there was stuff later than 2002, but no, not 2016 or whatever. But certainly did appear to be a pattern.
And I hate to bring up an old theme, but things were a little crazy in 2002. And
blocking anyone into a room and making them watch something.
No. I'm not okay. I didn't know about locking in the room.
Blocking doors. That's the thing that designed.
I did not know doors were blocked.
That's what has been alleged, that some doors have been blocked. But none. Some of them. I mean, and even within the New York Times story, there was one of the stories was he just asked a lady, hey, can I do this?
Yeah.
And she said no, and he said okay. So I still think that's a pretty damned inappropriate question to ask somebody who might not feel like they have the opportunity to say no. But I definitely do agree with you that there's a way bigger difference between asking and then not doing it than there is.
I actually heard on the news, and this somewhat amused me. Somebody said he asked if he could do this in front of her without her consent.
Well,
it's wait a minute.
That's true. Now the power dynamic.
So you're not allowed. No, so you're no longer allowed to get consent.
Yeah.
You don't have consent to get us consent.
That's kind of the really complicated version of saying, "Can I ask you a question?" And you go, "Well."
but in those days. And again, it was probably before your time. There was a lot of crazy going on in comedy. That's when Doug Stanhope was at his peak.
Sure. You know what's interesting is you never hear anyone accuse Doug Stanhope of anything that he doesn't.
That is exactly the thing. If somebody actually said, Doug Stanhope asked me if he could do this in front of me, and I just kind of looked at him. I thought he was joking, but then he started doing it. People are going, it's Stanhope.
I'll tell you this.
He was serious.
I think to some degree, and I'm not saying I think Louis C.K. we should pretend he never existed, like when they wipe Penn State's. Like Penn State's college football team didn't win the national championship some year because Jerry Sandusky was involved in the program. I was like, that's kind of weird, like when you conflate the whatever. But I think whether no fault of his own, part of what elevated Louis and what made his fall harder is that he kind of put himself out as a bit of a moral arbiter, and then other people really ran with that big time.
Yeah.
And I always thought that comedy fandom in general sort of weirdly over-idolized CK. Not that he's not super talented, but people elevated him like he was some sort of oracle. And I was like, nah, he's a good comic who talks about personal stuff.
He's a solid, hardworking comic.
Yeah, he's very, very talented. And he does make some very interesting points. And he's very good. Like I said, this is not to say he's not good. But I don't think he's... I never really quite bought into the idea that he was so vastly beyond every other working comic. I just don't think that's the case. I think he's just among the tip top. But I also never bought into the idea that just because that's so, that makes him the moral arbiter of anything other than than being funny. I think people overly conflate that the same way where if a comic like Stanhope is dirty, they might think that, say, Stanhope himself is maybe a more aggressive person than he really is.
Sure.
The conflation of the act and the
person. Which actually somebody has pointed out to me is that if you look at comics, in many cases, the ones who are dark on stage are really nice guys off stage. And the ones that play the family guy are the ones that really have the darkness.
Oh, I completely agree. I've been pushing that theory for a long time.
There are exceptions,
of course. Brian Regan is really, really nice. Not to say everybody.
Yeah. No. I understand.
But yeah,
there was There was I think have we talked about the story of Vince Champ?
Yes, of course.
In previous episodes, and he was a clean cut, well spoken, mm-hmm. which is a horrible way to talk about.
But he was a college comic.
He was a college comic. And off stage, he was extremely dark and is doing prison time.
Yes.
because of that. And that's kind of in my buddy Dobie Maxwell, says that he was in pro wrestling for a while. And he said that it was the same way in pro wrestling, is that the good guys were just awful out of the ring, and the evil
the
ones,
Iron Sheiks and those type guys,
yeah, were the ones you wanted to hang with because they were really nice guys. It was like it's their stage character exhibits something they cannot be off stage.
I think so, and I think they also kind of vent that darker stuff, and it keeps it from kind of fermenting and fomenting underneath the surface.
I was thinking that too, but does that also apply to the good ones where it's, oh yeah, I get all my goodness out on stage.
No, I think so too. Now I've got to go be awful.
That I can be myself.
Speaking of being ourselves, a big part of that is sticking to 10 minutes, and that's what we're going to do yet again. So we'll see you in the next segment.
I had to rent a car this weekend. We are now a one car family. We don't really always need to have two cars. We can schedule around it. And I found that it's actually cheaper to rent than it is to own.
Absolutely.
Is that my insurance would go up at least $100 if we had a second vehicle in the house. Mm-hmm. And I don't spend $100 in car rentals.
Sure.
So my second car is parked in Enterprise, and I actually kind of enjoy it because I get to drive a whole bunch of cars. I get to experience the whole fleet. I can tell you what new cars are nice, what new cars are not, what features I like, what features I don't. It's like multiple test drives.
Sure.
And
it's also like dating. It's like dating a girl while you're in France for a week. Also, where you're like, if this is good or if this is bad, either way, it doesn't last too long. You know, there's something like, I mean, you drive a rental car, you're like, as long as I don't put a giant dent in the side of it or something. You know, you're like, ah, que sera, sera.
I've done that. I've had three incidents so far with damage to a rental car.
Do you get the insurance?
No.
So you just pay for the dents?
Interestingly, little secret here. If you use your American Express card when you rent, first of all, your insurance, if your auto insurance applies to a rental car.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know that.
I did not know that.
So if you get in an accident, your insurance company is billed. And then, if you have a deductible, I have a high deductible. If you have a deductible, American Express covers that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not.
So you're driving like Mad Max
realize...
out there. You got no incentive not to crash.
Yeah. And the audience doesn't know, is this past weekend, they gave me a Mustang.
Ooh, that is a midlife crisis car.
Oh yes, it is. So I had a full weekend midlife crisis, and not just any Mustang, I might add. No, it's got a twin turbo V6 in it. I don't know why they would rent. For some reason, I thought that all the rental cars had four cylinders.
Sure.
When I stepped on it, I was kind of shocked.
And so was the old lady trying to cross the street in front of you. You know.
And buttons, and it's got little switches. So you, there's actually four different settings. There's five, I think, for the transmission. You can put it in snow ice. You can put it on normal, sport, sport plus, and track only.
Mm. That's a lot of options.
Yeah, I know. And the steering, the same thing. You have three settings for the steering: sport, comfort, wow, and custom. The transmission also, you can, when it's in sport, works like a manual, and it has paddle shifters on the steering wheel. So I've been burning rubber all over time.
Is your wife like confused why you keep volunteering to run errands and stuff? Like, no, I'll go to the store. I'll get the bananas. Ah.
She's actually been taken advantage of. You wouldn't want to run to the store for. Oh, yes, I would. I actually would. And the thing is, all cars are pretty much front wheel drive now. That's something that came in the 70s.
Sure.
I think it was experimented with before that, but in the 70s is when it really came in. And now most cars are front wheel drive. The Mustang is one that is not. It's still rear wheel drive. It's still got the big transmission hump going down the center. What it does is it kind of distributes the weight a little more evenly, because you've got the engine in the front, you've got the transmission, sure, in the middle, and you got the differential in the back. So the weight's on all the wheels, but those back wheels, they don't have as much when it's front, because they don't have the engine over them. So when you push it, they break loose.
Wow.
So I've been enjoying rear wheel drive. I've been skid steering.
Are you Tokyo drifting? Is that
that's actually something different.
Oh, really?
With a front wheel drive, the drifting? Yeah. No, this is like stock car. Is when you go into a turn, you cut it really hard, mm-hmm, and then floor it, and what happens is the back wheels break loose and come out. So you just kind of.
Like, yeah, a little fishtail kind of into the turn?
Little, yeah, you purposely fishtail into the turn. And it
sounds fun.
it actually is. I went to Chicago. I took it out on Lakeshore Drive, and it's I almost got a ticket. I think I was Lakeshore Drive winter speed, I think, is 30 miles an hour.
Really? Wow, boy, I drive it faster than that.
Oh yeah, nobody drives no. 30. You know, it's 35, I think, is the off winter limit. Either way, I was 40 over when I saw the nose of that cop car.
Ooh.
So I don't know if the radar was pointed the other way, or if I saw it in time, because it also has four wheel Brembo discs.
Maybe he just thought you were looked like you were having so much fun. He didn't want to ruin your good time.
Yeah, let the guy have his crisis
in peace. Is it back in the shop? Are they to the Enterprise?
No, I'm going to rush through this podcast and then take one, and then take one.
One more spin.
Yeah, well, I have to go to the grocery store.
Are you going to start requesting the Mustang? Are you going to start requesting the Mustang when you rent?
No, because it's not. They charge you way, way. They had, and this really bums me out, I found out that they actually had a BMW convertible.
Wow.
In the back lot that they never told me about.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. They said, yeah, I was talking. I said, yeah, sometimes I get a pretty nice car. Sometimes it's a lot of fun. And he goes, they gave me a convertible once. And he goes, the Beamer? And I go, the what? He goes, oh, yeah, we just sold it. It's like, no, you never told me you had a BMW convertible back there. Oh, my gosh. What a thing to tell me in October.
Yeah, right. A little too late. So you do you kind of like do pretend race car driver in your mind when you're driving fast?
Well, what's really funny And it's something you don't know when you drive an old man mm-hmm. car, which is the daily driver. Mm-hmm. We've got a big old sedan. What you don't notice when you drive that, you get people honking behind you.
Sure.
Because they're, oh, come on, speed up, old man. You know,
right.
It's people are irritated when I'm in
it's
that
like
car.
It's like a semiotic thing. They see that car and they think slow.
Yeah, exactly. And, but this car, it was like all the time. I'd be on the expressway and here comes a Fast and Furious Honda up on the right, past me. Here comes a Charger on the left. And they see me. And I think they know I got the twin turbo.
Oh.
And they wanna evaluate it against their
interesting
their efforts. Yeah, I had a Mustang that was like of a similar era, but I could tell by the exhaust that they had done some mods on it. So he wanted to see if his mods were actually how much better they were. So he was taunting me.
Well, see, I drive like small Korean cars in general. So whenever I rent a car, they tend to just be way bigger than my car. And I always realize how incredibly aggressive of a driver I must already be, because once I get some real tonnage behind me, I'm like, get out of the way, coming through, man. I must be like the Tom Cruise of the road, where I'm just like a little banty rooster, just like honking at all these other much bigger cars. But yeah, when I get up on there in a big SUV, it's like, I can see the power madness of that.
Oh yeah. It's hard when you drive an SUV. It's hard to ever go. It's hard to go back down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little uncomfortable when you get back down on the ground.
All of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I'm physically at the level of all these other cars. I can die.
Yeah, the superiority vanishes.
Yes.
And speaking of vanishing.
Yes, we got to vanish. I think.
Well, at least one of us does.
Yes.
That's the show. That's our 100th episode.
Well, number 100, crazy. Which, and, by the way, that would be 50 hours. If you're doing the math.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It would actually take, if you wanted to listen to every single Rule of Three podcast, it would take you a full work week plus overtime.
Yeah. So get right on that.
And most people say, no, that's okay. I'll just go back to sewer cleaning. All the episodes on iTunes, timslegel.com, at timslegel, timslegelcomedy.
Yep, BrianMiller.com, BrianMillerComedy.com, and Real Brian Miller on Twitter with Y.
And we will be back next
week. Peace out.
Thank you very much.